Good evening. It's Tuesday night, January 10th, and welcome again to Rabbi Feldman's Week of Cheer. Rabbi Feldman.
Good evening.
I think I'll probably be relatively brief tonight, which I think is probably the mood people are in after a fast. Probably appreciate it, which another way I'm after a fast. But I would like to briefly and a little bit experimentally discuss Asara B'Tevis and how it may or may not play out differently. It may or may not, because the differences are really mostly in theory more than in practice, but the theoretical differences may tell us something about Asara B'Tevis, how it may be presented a little bit differently than some of the other Tanaishim, and to begin with, maybe talk about how the Tanaishim are broken down to begin with. So as we know, there are six Tanaishim throughout the year that are generally accepted on the calendar. There are far more than that. If you're into more Tanaishim, there are more to find. You know, there are Tzadikim Tanaishim, special days which are associated with smaller groups of people, such as Zayin Adar, for example. There are people who will fast on Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. There are those who will fast Bahab, but beyond that, there are six fasts that are more standard on the calendar. One, Yom Kippur, is clearly distinct from everything else, and that's the only one that we find in HaTorah. And then the other five, they also break down into really four and one. One's associated with Purim, and Baruch Hashem, that'll be coming up soon enough, and that has its own context to it. So out of the other four are united in that they all are associated with the Beis HaMikdash, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. These four fast days, which are identified by the Pasuk in Sefer Zechariah by their month, Tzom HaRaviv, Tzom HaChamishi, etc., etc., each one of the fast days is identified in the Pasuk only as being part of a certain month. And these four commemorate different stages in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Pasuk there indicates that ultimately these will be holidays. These days will be Leveis Yehuda V'Sasna and L'Simcha, will eventually be Yom Tovim, but for now we are not quite at that level. Now of course within that group of four, so we know there's another distinction. We know that Tisha B'Av is handled differently than the other three, and that's something that we could discuss separately on its own, but there's some points about the distinction between Tisha B'Av and the other three that are relevant specifically to Asara B'Tevis. I'd like to take a few minutes now and a few minutes later to discuss that. Maybe at a later date we can get into Tisha B'Av more frontally. But tonight, just to discuss as an introductory point to Asara B'Tevis, so the obvious difference between Tisha B'Av and the other three Tanaishim is in practice, there's clearly very big differences. That the three Tanaishim other than Tisha B'Av are all observed during the daytime only, and only apply to two Inuyim, really one Inuyim, that's what we call it too. Achila V'Shtia is the only thing that's prohibited on these three Tanaishim. And on Tisha B'Av we go for 25 hours, like Yom Kippur, we go from the beginning of Shkia on the first night till the end of Seish on the second night. And we observe all five Inuyim, same as we see by Yom Kippur. So first of all, why is there that difference? Why is it that Tisha B'Av is treated differently? So there are a number of theories on to this point, and a very famous theory, which is arguable but very well known, is that of the Ramban. The Ramban in his Sefer Taras HaAdam. Taras HaAdam is a Sefer in which the Ramban deals with issues of Avelos, Rachman al-Slan, and issues that go around Avelos, such as Bikur Cholim, and also Tisha B'Av has a connection to Avelos as well. So in that Sefer, the Ramban explains, in his opinion, why it is that Tisha B'Av is treated differently than the other fast days. And he says it all traces back to a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Yud Ches, which cites the Pasuk that he mentioned in Sefer Zechariah. So the Pasuk says the fast days are ultimately going to be Yom Tovim. These fast days are going to be holidays. So the Gemara says, okay, great. When's that going to happen? When are we going to be able to invite people for our Shavuot Shabbatama's party? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. That there's basically a couple of different categories. That Bizman Sheish Shalom, time of Shalom, what does Shalom mean exactly is not clear. Some Rishonim understand that to mean when there's a Beis HaMikdash back in place. Others have a different understanding to what exactly that indicated. It's apparently some stage that we haven't really reached yet, and some stage that the future holds, God willing. So when it's time of Shalom, so then these days will be festive days. And in a time of Shmad, in a time when we're really being persecuted, so then they are actual fast days. So the Gemara asks, well, what about all the time in between? What about the time when we have not yet reached Shalom, but we are not actively being persecuted, we don't feel Shmad in the same context as the Gemara is presenting it? So then the Gemara says, well, basically it's optional. Ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. If we want, we can fast, and if we want, we could choose not to fast. So says the Ramban, that's really, I'm sorry? Right, so now it doesn't have so much practical application as we shall see, but that's for a couple of reasons. But says the Ramban, that's the key. This idea that it's optional is the key to understanding what's going on. Says, because really it's not actually optional, because Klal Yisrael has, like we see by Ma'ariv and like we see by maybe other things, Ma'ariv is a very frequent example. The Gemara calls it a Rishus, but the Rishonim explain that we don't treat it that way. We see by the fast days that Klal Yisrael has basically accepted it voluntarily. We've voluntarily taken upon ourselves to fast these optional fast days. However, not fully. So it's really, what does a fast day mean? A fast day, if you wonder what a fast day is, we'll have to look through the Torah. That's our model for a fast day. And the only fast day we find in the Torah, as we mentioned, is Yom Kippur. So what does a fast day mean then? A fast day means it's 25 hours long and it has 5 minuy. So really, that must be what a fast day is. So that must be what Shavuos Vatamis is, and what Asar B'Tevis is, and what Tisha B'Av is. But we don't put that into practice. Why not? We all put that into practice because we only accepted them optionally. Since we accepted them optionally, says the Ramban, so then we have the right to define the terms a little bit differently. We're willing to commemorate these days. We're willing to fast on these days, but to do the whole package of 25 hours and 5 inuyim, that's too much. So when we came back and accepted these days optionally, we accepted them only in this reduced format. So what about Tisha B'Av? That's where the distinction comes in Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av, the Gemara already tells us, is different. And Tisha B'Av says, the reference to Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, Ho v'chuchpulu bo hatzaris. The travails on Tisha B'Av were multiplied, and therefore Tisha B'Av doesn't get this in-between status. It's either a holiday or it's a fast day, but it doesn't become optional in the middle. Now, what does that phrase mean, Huchpulu bo hatzaris? Not so clear. I'd like to come back to that towards the end of our discussion. But for now, whatever it is, the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av has this stronger status, but Tisha B'Av is not in this category of optional. So Ramban says that's the way it works, that basically Tisha B'Av, we're left with a basic model of Yom Kippur type fasting, and the other three we had control over, so we accepted them in a less intense format. So again, this is the Ramban's position. Ramban's position is quoted by the Ran in the back of the Gemara, and it's a well-known position. There were those who disagreed. There were those who didn't think this was correct. Among them, Ben Itziv. Ben Itziv of Elazar, in his commentary to the Shultz, the Hamek Shalah, he has a long essay in which he brings many proofs from Tanakh to argue on the Ramban. He doesn't think the Ramban is correct. The proofs he brings from Tanakh are partially to discuss the fact that you could have a model of fast days that are scriptural that are not 25 hours. He doesn't think that the Ramban's premises are correct, and he says, no, it's not true. It's not true that everything started off like Yom Kippur and was scaled down. But really, this is the way they were meant to be, these fast days, and Tisha B'Av is souped up. Tisha B'Av is enhanced, not that everything else is knocked down. Now again, why is Tisha B'Av souped up? It has to do with Huchpulu bo hatzaris. That's something I'd like to come back to later. But that's basically a difference already, that the Ramban's going to tell us that all the fast days are really supposed to be Yom Kippur-like, but they're optional nowadays, so we accepted them in a reduced format, while others may disagree and say, no, that this was always the way these were meant to be, and Tisha B'Av was treated differently from its very creation. One major issue that one could have on the Ramban's theory is, if the Ramban is correct, it's not really so accurate to say that every time from the point of the Gemara until now, we have never been in Shmat. It's a very difficult thing to say. Certainly, Klal Yisrael has gone through some very difficult times throughout that range. And to say that it never fell into the Gemara's definition of Shmat is difficult. And indeed, you do find that there are some posting will say like that. And Chassid Lazar has tshuvas about this, and Ma'ariv, the Magen Avraham, mentions this possibility, that there were those who held that if it's a time of Shmat, if it's a time of great, tremendous persecution, and maybe one should assume that these fast days really should be treated in a different way. And when, as the Magen Avraham writes, maybe a Baal Nefesh really should be mastering to fast 25 hours and all abstain from all the inuyim on these days during a time of Shmad, based on the assumption that the Ramban's Mahalach is correct. So the fact that we don't really find that so much outside of this suggested and posting, we don't really find it observed. I don't know how many stories we have of people actually doing that. So that may indicate a little bit of a question on the Ramban's theory. Is the Ramban's theory really accepted? If so, it would seem that it should vary based on what's going on in the world. Okay, so that's basically our first stage to distinguish between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanaishim, and again we'll come back to that a little bit later. But now even within the other three Tanaishim, so we find at least in theory another difference between Asar B'Tevis that we had observed today and the other two, and really actually the other three, because this affects Tisha B'Av as well. So we know that our practice is that if a fast day falls out on Shabbos, which is often the case with Shabbos of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, so we push it off until Sunday. We don't fast on Shabbos. Yom Kippur we do. It's a different story. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for the rabbinical fast days, so we don't fast on Shabbos, and we push them off till the next day. The Abu Jaram was quoted by the Beis Yosef. Probably heard of this. That the Asar B'Teves is a theoretical exception to this rule. That were Asar B'Teves to fall out on Shabbos, so we would not be able to push it off, similar to Yom Kippur. And Eli Rabba points out that this view is found in the Gaonim as well. So we find this in early sources, this notion that Asar B'Teves would not be pushed off by Shabbos. Now, this is really a theoretical question for the most part nowadays, because our calendars are now set. We don't set up the month based on New Year. We don't have Bezdin establishing a new Rosh Chodesh every month. We have set calendars, and our set calendars is never going to fall out that Asar B'Tevis is going to fall out on Shabbos. It does happen, and here we do see a uniqueness of the Asar B'Tevis playing out, that it does happen on our calendars that Asar B'Tevis falls out on a Friday, and we do fast on Friday. And that's unusual, because normally our policy is not to fast on Friday. We don't recommend taking on a voluntary fast on Friday. We don't have scheduled fast days on Friday for the most part. Yom Kippur is never going to fall on a Friday for other reasons. To have, the Gemara says to have Shabbos and Yom Kippur back-to-back is going to cause tremendous problems, so the calendar was set up that would never happen. But generally the other fast days don't fall out on Friday. The Asar B'Tevis falls out on Friday, we observe it on Friday, and that's already a little bit of an indication that there may be somewhat of a difference. We know that when we have to push up Tanis Esther, so Tanis Esther is the one fast day which gets moved forward instead of back, which is indicating somewhat of its own special nature, and we'll talk about that Tanis Esther time. So if Purim is on Sunday, so we can't have Tanis Esther on Shabbos, and we don't have it on Friday either. We push it up 2 days to Thursday because of this idea that we don't fast on Friday, because we don't want to go into Shabbos Mauna. And we assume that when a person is, or Manova, whatever word you have, that when a person is fasting, so they're not really in a great state, and it's not an appropriate mechubadik way to enter into Shabbos. Not the same as fasting on Shabbos, but it's also not as respectful towards Shabbos as we want to be. So normally we're not going to fast on Friday, and that's the question the Gemara has in the Seches Erevin and Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara has a question about somebody who is in a Tainus Yachid. Somebody takes upon himself a fast on a Friday, so should he complete the fast, go all the way up to Shabbos in the fast, or should he end it earlier so as not to go into Shabbos Menuvel? Yer Shameach writes in his commentary to Rambam that this is a raya for the Abba Jerome, because why doesn't the Gemara ask about Shavuos Batamas? I mean, as I say, why doesn't ask about Asar B'Tevis? If Asar B'Tevis falls out on a Friday, let's have a question about whether or not we should observe it. She said the reason the Gemara doesn't ask that is because the Gemara knows that when it comes to Asara B'Tavis, we treat it with a little bit of a different status. It would, in theory, push off Shabbos itself. That's the Abadram's position. So certainly, if it's going to fall out on Friday, we're going to observe it on Friday. That's the way the Yerusha Meach understands the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't ask about Asara B'Tavis for that reason. But in any case, the Abadram's position is surprising. The Beis Yosef, who quotes it, says it's difficult to understand. It says, I don't know where this comes from. So where does it come from? The Abadram tells you where it comes from. It comes from the fact that I mentioned this here. It comes from the fact that the Pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel makes reference to this incident and says, Be'etzim hayom hazeh, on this day itself. So, suggests the Abadram, since it's tied into the day itself, it's not subject to being moved to a different day. Beis Yosef still says he doesn't know where he gets it from, and as the Minchas Rebbe wrote many hundreds of years later, in the Minchas Elazar, he wrote that the Beis Yosef's question is that we don't have the right to make drushes on our own. If the Chazal tell us that this is what a pasuk means, so then we have that drusha, but to draw them to come and say, well, based on this pasuk, this is going to be my chiddush to halacha, so it's difficult to say. So in any event, this is the chiddush that the Sfarim bring down to us, which is mostly theoretical in nature, but it's a big question, why should it be? Why should it be, whether we accept it or not, why should it be that Asara B'Tavis should be the exception to this rule that we're normally not going to fast night Shabbos? So there are a number of suggestions that are out there in Sfarim. One suggestion you find Al Pi Derech HaDrush, an interesting sefer called Zichron Shlomo. Zichron Shlomo is a sefer was put together by a very chassid Talmid Chacham that's been visited by David Mandelbaum, his contemporary Mechaber, lives in Eretz Yisrael. He writes his unbelievable output. He writes tremendous Sfarim at a tremendous pace. And he mostly is editing Sfarim of earlier Mechaber and adding phenomenal amounts. In addition now to writing his own Sfarim. So one paper that he has is a very interesting section that he calls, the paper called Zichron Shlomo. It was in memory of the son-in-law of the Chalkas Rav, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of the Mandelbaum Svarim are editions of Svarim that were written by the Sakhachava Rebbe's students. The Avnei Nezer had many prominent students, and many of his Svarim were republished under Rabbi Mandelbaum's control with his footnotes and his essays in the back and things like that, and his tremendous contributions. So one of the students of the Zachashava Rebbe was the Chalkas Yaov, and the Chalkas Yaov had this son-in-law's name of Shlomo Kalish. So Rebbe Mandelbaum edited a Sefer Zikaron for him called Zichron Shlomo. So apparently his birthday was Asara B'Tavis, this Rabbi Kalish. So therefore, as part of the Sefer Zikaron, he puts a whole section there, everything you ever wanted to know about Asara B'Tavis. A lot of interesting things there about Asara B'Tavis. And once he's doing that already, he also puts the whole kunches on birthdays. Since his birthday is Asara B'Tavis, you have to have a kunches on both halves of the sentence. So there's a whole section on Asara B'Tavis and a whole section on birthdays. A lot of interesting things in the Sefer. So in the section on Asara B'Tavis, he quotes from some Hasidish sources a number of Sfarim that were all suggesting Al Pi Derech HaDrush, that there is a special significance between Shabbos and Asara B'Tavis. That the way we have what we commemorate on Asara B'Tavis, what's the whole fast about? So the language we have in Chazal is Shabo Samach Nebuchadnezzar Al Ha'ir. That was, how do you translate that phrase? And he leaned against the city. This is the beginning of the siege. He approaches the city. It's a very funny language, samach. It's not really the language you would normally use. Really, in other contexts, it means to rely upon, to lean upon. So some of the Sfarim suggest, I'm sorry? So apparently that seems to be the connotation, but it's a funny language. It's not the normal usage that we would use. So that's how we have to interpret it. But why did it pick that word? So the way it's quoted in the Sfarim is that the idea is that the same way we use the word to mean to rely upon, because it means it here as well. That the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin that Nebuchadnezzar was worried to siege the city. He was worried that what would happen to him is what had happened to previous people who attacked the Jewish people, and that he would not be able to get away with it. But the Gemara says in the Sacha Shabbos that Yerushalayim was only conquered because at this point because of Chilul Shabbos, because they were mezalzel Shabbos in the city, and that this particular surrounding took place on Shabbos as well. The Nebuchadnezzar knew that they were lax in this, and he could hear that there was still Shabbos going on. So once he knew that they were losing their protection, their divine protection, because they were Mechal Shabbos, so then he figured, okay, now I'll be able to succeed. So he was so mech on that. He relied on that because he realized that there was Chilul Shabbos going on. That was what led him to go further in this process, and that was what caused us trouble. So that's what this forum suggests, that maybe there's a special connection between Shabbos and Esaret Batavis, and maybe it's especially appropriate that Esaret Batavis should be observed even on Shabbos, because that was intimately connected with the whole process here. Okay, that's Alpi Derech HaDrush. Alpi Derech HaLacha, there are other aspects that are suggested. I think if you tie all these aspects together to maybe come up with some kind of a mahalo. That the Mabit is quoted by the Yer Shemeach, the same Yer Shemeach who made his comment about the Erev Shabbos. The Mabit is quoted as saying that really it's not a problem to fast on Shabbos unless it's Meisleis, unless it's really 24 hours. To fast the whole day on Shabbos, that's when you really have a problem. But to fast only during the daytime, like we do on Sarah Batavis, so really that's not as much of a problem on Shabbos, and therefore in theory we could do it, but we push it off because why should we fast on Shabbos itself? But since by Esar B'Tavis it says Be'etzim Hayom Hazeh, it says that it has to be this day specifically, so therefore Esar B'Tavis would be in theory the exception. This relates a little bit to a comment the Minchas Chinuch has in Mitzvah Shen Aleph, where the Minchas Chinuch discusses the question of why is it taken for granted that Shabbos, eating on Shabbos, takes priority over the Tanezim. Really, they should be somewhat comparable. It shouldn't be so clear that eating on Shabbos should win out, because the source for eating on Shabbos and the source for the Tanezim is really comparable. Both of them would seem to be what we call Divrei Kabbalah. That they're both not really mitzvahs min ha-Torah. It doesn't state explicitly in the Torah that we have to eat on Shabbos, although there are Rishonim who took that opinion, but it doesn't seem to say explicitly on the Torah that way. And it doesn't say certainly in the Torah that we have to fast on these days, which are historical events that took place far later, but both of them are mentioned in Tanakh. The fear of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos is mentioned in Sefer Yeshayahu, the cross of the Shabbos Oneg. And the obligation of the fast days, as we mentioned, is alluded to in Sefer Zechariah. So when things are mentioned in Tanakh, I think we've mentioned this in the past, they seem to have this category called Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah is a status that applies to these things that are really not in the Chumash itself, but are in Sukkim. So Kavod and Oneg Shabbos and the Tanaisim are two primary examples, and there are probably other examples as well, such as, for example, the Mitzvahs of Purim, which are all detailed in Megillas Esther, so all have the status of Divrei Kabbalah. Happened to be that the Turi Evan, the author of the Shargash Arya, the Turi Evan in his commentary to Masechus Megillah, understands that Divrei Kabbalah are treated like Divrei Torah. That's because the same Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dafid Ches, that talks about for the ultimate Yontif, so there the Gemara has its expression, which is in a specific context, but the Turi Evan takes it more broadly. And Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah dami. Divrei Kabbalah are treated like Divrei Torah. So Turi Evan says that means we treat across the board like Divrei Torah. We say stuff like Lahashmir, and all the rules that we apply to Divrei Torah, we apply to Divrei Kabbalah. And the Rishonim came before Turi Evan. Turi Evan was an early Achon. There were Rishonim who already said differently, who didn't see it that way, but this is a well-known position. But in any event, however we treat Divrei Kabbalah, so really they both seem to be Divrei Kabbalah. That the fasting is Divrei Kabbalah and eating on Shabbos is Divrei Kabbalah. So why are we so sure that eating on Shabbos takes priority? So Minchas Chinuch writes that really the Divrei Kabbalah, this idea that we have a scriptural basis to fast on these days, it's not really attached to the day itself. It's only attached to the month. The pasuk only refers to the month. And in fact, when it comes to Shabbos of Betanos, for example, so the events differed between the two Batei Mikdash as to what day in the month it happens. But that differentiation is not considered so significant, because since the pasuk only mentions the month, so we could pick a day in the month, that will be a fulfillment of the Divrei Kabbalah of fasting in Tammuz. Fasting in Tammuz, fasting in Av, fasting in Tevis, fasting in Tishrei, etc. But when it comes to Asara B'Tevis. So now we have this extra idea, and the Chasam Sofer spells that himself, later Svarim points this out. So maybe this logic wouldn't apply to Asara B'Tevis. Now the other fast day, so we could push them off till Sunday, and we would accomplish both. We'd accomplish the mitzvah Medivri Kabbalah to eat on Shabbos, and we'd still be accomplishing the mitzvah Medivri Kabbalah to fast during that month. But Asara B'Tevis is not subject to being moved away because of this aspect of the Esen Hayom Hazeh. So a couple of other mahalchim, and again I'm mentioning them in a little bit of a scattershot fashion, but I think in the end we could tie them all together and they all could come together and make one unified approach. Right?
Point of the Ramban that the Shema is
Rabbi
Davis would start on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Right. Then if you're going to get into trouble if you say like that. Right. So that's part of the problem with the Ramban. But, that is one of the issues that's going to, if you, he's certainly not going to be able to work together with Zundin and Halchum, for sure. Another aspect to throw into the mix is a statement that Reb Chaim Brisker made that is found in the, what's known in the yeshivas as the stencils, the Chiddush HaGracha HaShas. Reb Chaim in his lifetime, his sefer on the Rambam was the magnum opus. That was the real Brisker's, as we know, have a hesitation to publish so easily. So the not so much of Reb Chaim's Tzavim were printed during his lifetime, and it's really the Sefer on the Rambam is really the official sanctioned work. And we have later on the Chiddushim HaLashas that were printed from manuscripts. It's known as the stencils, and Svarim is called that way, stencil, because it's was never formally printed. It was just kind of Xeroxed and printed that way. So it's known as the Chiddush HaGrach HaLashas. So there Reb Chaim has a comment that Bajram's idea is apparently, and here we're still going to need more explanation, is apparently related to the fact that we know that not all Tanaisim are banned on Shabbos, because there is, to a certain extent, the notion of a Tanais on Shabbos, as we find by Tanais Kalal. But Gemara says that if a person has a bad dream on Shabbos, if a person has a bad dream ever, he's very upset about the bad dream, he wakes up in the morning and he realizes he's all horrified because he had this dream, and he thinks it's going to really have an impact on him. So Gemara says, if you want to deal with it, so a good way to deal with it is to fast. You offer a tainus l'chalim ke'ish l'na'oris, that a fast has as much of an impact on the dream as a fire does on flax. It'll zip it right away. So if you want to really deal with your bad dream, so to fast is a good way to deal with it. So the Gemara says, even on Shabbos, even if it means you have the dream Friday night and you wake up Shabbos morning, so you should fast right then, even if it's on Shabbos. So Reb Chaim said, you see from here that there are fasts that are appropriate on Shabbos, that there are fasts, again, a fast of mourning and of miserableness. So then that's not consistent with Shabbos. But you have a fast of tshuva that's meant to be a gesture of repentance. So that, in theory, could be appropriate on Shabbos. And that perhaps is what the Abadram is building on when he tells us that Asara B'Tevis may have a place on Shabbos. We still need to explain it a little bit more. So there is an interesting part of the puzzle that was pointed out by Rav Shimon Pinchas, the famous Talmud Chacham Yisrael, who died tragically a few years ago. He has a sefer called Tiferes Torah, in which he fills in one more part of the puzzle. And in order to place that in our context, I'd like to introduce that with another element. Forgive all the different back and forth here, but I think it all plays a role in this puzzle. We started off talking about Tisha B'Av. I mentioned that on Tisha B'Av, so there is a question, what makes Tisha B'Av special? I mentioned the Ramban's approach that really Tisha B'Av is normal and everything else is scaled down. We mentioned that the Netziv and others disagreed and they said, no, other things are the way they're supposed to be, and Tisha B'Av is souped up. Now, if we say Tisha B'Av is souped up, so what is it about Tisha B'Av that gives it this enhanced character to it? So there are two basic strands in the Svarim. Some say that Tisha B'Av is special because it has the component of Avelus grafted onto it. That we're mourning over the Beis HaMikdash, and that is attached to the fast of Tisha B'Av, and that kicks it up. And as just as you see that Avelus has all the five Inuyim attached to it, so Tisha B'Av then also picks up these Inuyim. There's a lot to say about that. Maybe we could talk about that separately at a different time. And that's really how Tisha B'Av becomes more enhanced. And others say, no, the Tisha B'Av is enhanced because of a comparison to Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur is a yontif set in the day and has its aspects to it. Maybe Tisha B'Av also is kind of a negative yontif. It's built into the day itself, and the day itself has these certain qualities to it, and therefore that it follows a Yom Kippur type of model. So some suggest that the Svarim suggest that this may be what the Gemara means when it says Chuchbulu Bahasar. So we mentioned earlier the Gemara says that Tisha B'Av is separate because the troubles on Tisha B'Av were multiplied. What does that mean, that sort of troubles on Tisha B'Av were multiplied? A lot of bad things happened on Tisha B'Av, true, but the Gemara also says a lot of bad things happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz. It's not simply a matter of more than one thing happening. It can't be multiplied in that sense, because the same could be said about Shavuos B'Tammuz. So what's special about Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos, in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, gives us two answers as to what Gemara means when it says that Tisha B'Av is special. One answer is that Chuchpulu bo sara achas, that the same thing happened twice. That's more than that. That's not just many bad things happening, but the same thing, destruction of Beit HaMikdash, happening twice, that's a higher level of repetition that really shows us a pattern. And the other answer in Tosfos is shiny churban Beit HaMikdash to chomer tzvei. Destruction of Beit HaMikdash is a unusual type of problem. It's much greater than your normal type of tragedy. So in other words, it's not a quantitative statement that many things happened, but it's a qualitative statement that the nature of what happens is increased. The nature is multiplied qualitatively rather than quantitatively. So some achronim suggest that these two answers reflect the two possibilities you can find in Tisha B'Av. That if you believe that Tisha B'Av is special because it is because it's the day of Avelus, because we're mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what gives it its tremendous severity. So that's when Tosa says that Churban Beis HaMikdash is Chomer, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is a more significant tragedy, and we are mourning over that. That's the answer that's being referred to there, that Tisha B'Av has this component of Avelus that we are still mourning today. While the other answer that says that Tisha B'Av is special because the same thing happened twice, so what does that address? That addresses the fact that there's a pattern in the day. The same thing happens again and again. It shows you there's something significant about that day. So therefore, we respond to the date, 9th of Av, in this way, it's attached to the 9th of Av itself. And that understanding means that there's a much greater connection to Tisha B'Av itself rather than a fast that takes place in the month of Av. For example, the Gemara has a statement about Rebbe. This is one of the things that the Chassidus discusses when he talks about the fast being in the month. So Rebbe is quoted as saying that if I had been there when they were setting Tisha B'Av, if I had been there, I would have set it up on the 10th. I think the 10th of Av is a better day to fast. Rubo shohechol nisraf. Most of the destruction happened on the 10th of Av. So that's an interesting idea that he would rather have it on the 10th. And Tosfos over there, Tosfos says that Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av. It's a shocking idea that he wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. So Tosfos gives two theories as to what it means to want to get rid of Tisha B'Av. One theory is that he didn't want it to be any more stringent than the other fast days. He wanted to knock it down just to some Gedalia level. And the other answer was he was talking about a Tisha B'Av that was pushed off. A year when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and it's observed on Sunday. So then, Rebbe said, listen, once it's pushed off, if it's pushed off, he thinks it should be pushed off completely. So the Achronim will ask, it doesn't sit with the Gemara. The Gemara says that he thought really Tisha B'Av should be on the 10th. And Tosfos says that he felt that if it was pushed off on the 9th or 10th, we should forget about it. Why should we forget it? That's what he wants. He wants it should always be on the 10th. And when it ends up accidentally on the 10th, he says that we should forget about it. Doesn't make sense. So the Achronim explained an interesting fact. That you see here, there are two theories as to what makes Tisha B'Av special. Either it's special because of the Avelus, or it's special because of the day itself. So Rebbe apparently felt that the Avelus was not enough to make it special, and it's only the day itself that makes it special. So therefore, the two theories in Tosfos, he wanted to knock it down, or he wanted to forget about it if it got pushed off. Either because he wanted to knock it down, because he says, if you're going to have it based on the Avelus, so then that's not enough. That's not enough for it to be Chomer. So then knock it down. And if you're going to have it Chomer, you're going to have it Chomer because it's the day itself. So if it's a day itself, it has to be the 9th of Av. If you're going to move it off to the, if you're going to move it off to the 10th, then forget about it. So either way, you're going to have it when the Avelis is. So the Avelis is really the 10th of Av, according to him, because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So if you're going to say it's the Avelis that makes it so stringent, have it on the 10th. And if you're going to have it on the 9th, then you're saying that the stringency is because of the day itself, that you can't push it off to the 10th. That was how they explained it. Interesting chat. So what do you see from all of that? You see from there that there's two different aspects to a fast day. That the fast day could be either commemorative, that this day is significant, or it could be some reflection of mourning, some reflection of Avelis. So how does that help us understand Asarah B'Teves? So when it comes to Asarah B'Teves, what parts of the puzzle have we seen so far? So we've seen that it's a fast of tshuva can take place on Shabbos. And we've seen that there is this interesting connection between Shabbos and Asarah B'Teves based on the Avera. And we've seen this Etzem Hayom HaZeh idea. And perhaps they all come together. That maybe what's going on here, and there's an explanation like this a little bit in the Sefer Gevuras Yitzchak, but without putting these parts together, is that maybe Tisha B'Av, maybe Asarah B'Teves is especially attached to the day itself more than the other Tanaisim. The other Tanaisim are days in which we mourn something that happened and its lasting effect. While in Asarah B'Teves, we're really commemorating Asarah B'Teves. Why should that be true? Because Asarah B'Teves didn't really have anything happen that had a lasting effect. It wasn't destruction of Yerushalayim, it wasn't destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't the killing of Gedaliah, which the Gemara attaches great significance to. It was a stage in the process. And if that stage in the process hadn't gone any further, then there wouldn't be anything to worry about. It was only because of that stage in the process took place that later on things happened that we now suffer their absence today. So therefore, the other Tanaisim that all had things happen on them that we suffered the consequences from later, so then we're in mourning. We're in mourning over those losses. For Asarah B'Teves, it's not that we're in mourning over what happened on Asarah B'Teves. We're commemorating the day of Asarah B'Teves because that day was a stage in our downfall because of Averis, because of Chil Shabbos or whatever it was. So that day led to a stage in our downfall. So therefore, the day itself is significant. There's nothing to mourn. We can't push our mourning off to a different day because we're not mourning. We're just responding to this call. So therefore, Asarah B'Teves is different than the other fast days, and Asarah B'Teves is really a day purely of tshuva. The other days are days of Avelis, and Asarah B'Teves is a day purely of tshuva. So therefore, that means a couple of things. It means it can't be pushed off because it's attached to the day itself. But it's also less problematic for Shabbos. Because as Reb Chaim pointed out, if a fast is about tshuva, not about Avelis, you can have it on Shabbos. And that helps also because that could also explain how it could be less offensive to Shabbos. Because really, if it's a day of tshuva, so then it doesn't really cast its pallor over the whole day. The other days, the fast, even if we only fast during the daytime, but there is a chalos, a sadness to the whole day. The whole day of Tzom Gedaliah, the whole day of Shavuot and B'Tamuz is really a sad day. We only actively fast during the daytime. As you know, there is a Machlokes Poskim. Moshe Feinstein had a truth about this, and the Salvation felt differently. That if one is not going to get married during the 3 weeks, so the Kohen Gadol wants to get married the night of Shavuot and B'Tamuz, the first night of the 3 weeks. You're not really fasting yet, but it is technically Shavuot and B'Tamuz. So is it appropriate to get married then? And the Soloveitchik, if I'm not mistaken, ruled it was not appropriate to get married then. Reb Moshe allowed it, but if I remember correctly, I think even Reb Moshe was not really excited about it. He allowed it kind of begrudgingly, that even though we're not fasting during the night of Shavuot and B'Tamuz, that there really is a status to Shavuot and B'Tamuz at night. But Asarah B'Teves, that's not true. Asarah B'Teves, the Etzem Hayom HaZeh, means only the daytime. It means it has to be this day, but it also means specifically the daytime. So therefore, that by its very nature is less of a stira to Shabbos, because it doesn't cast any pallor over the whole Shabbos day. It's only an aspect of tshuva, and then maybe that could work on Shabbos, and it makes sense because it's not that there's something we're mourning on that day, but we're commemorating the opportunity for tshuva, and that's something which in theory could be applicable to Shabbos as well. Okay, so just to quickly review what we spoke about and go over some of these parts. So we mentioned the fact that there's a difference between Yom Kippur and all the other four fast days, and Tanya Sefer is its own thing. Within the four fast days, the difference between Tisha B'Av and the other three. The Ramban explains the difference because the fast days are all optional in the way he understands the Gemara, and therefore with the exception of Tisha B'Av, and we've accepted those three in a reduced fashion, and others disagreed, such as in a Chiv, that no, these fast days were always different. Tisha B'Av is souped up for whatever reason that we discussed separately. So we discussed within the four Beit HaMikdash fast days, the difference seems to exist that Sarva Tevis, the Bahag, and the Drum, and the Gaonim are all quoted as saying that one would observe Sarva Tevis even on Shabbos, and in practice we do it on Friday, as Rosh Math points out, as a way to read the Gemara and Erevin, and that's what we do have in practice. And then we discussed various aspects why this could be. We discussed the fact it's a little controversial, this idea of a drush on its own, as the Beit Yosef seems to be pointing out, the way the Menchus Allah said it was understanding, and then we discussed what could be special about Asar B'Tavis to allow it on Shabbos. We mentioned Afi Derech HaDrush, this component of the relationship between Chilul Shabbos and Asar B'Tavis, and maybe Afi Derech HaDrush, that's why we have this expression of Shabbos Samach, Melech Nebuchadnezzar. And then we mentioned the fact that it's not a 24-hour fast, and Mabit said it's not a 24-hour fast, it's not really a problematic on Shabbos. And we mentioned the Chassinuch asking why it is that Shabbos so clearly takes priority over the fast days, that they're both in Divrei Kabbalah, and then he explains that Divrei Kabbalah only means it has to fast sometime during the month. And again, as you could then say, as later Svarim point out, that would mean the exception of Asar B'Tavis, where it does say Be'etzem Hayom Hazen. And we mentioned also Reb Chaim's component of the fact that we see from the Tanis Cholom that it's not that all fasts are out of the question on Shabbos, but that the fast of Tshuva could have a place on Shabbos, and then we still need to fill in a little bit more. And so then we mentioned, when we looked at Tisha B'Av, we saw Tisha B'Av has two angles, why it's enhanced, either because it's about a Velus or it's because of something connected to the day. We mentioned that tied into the two explanations of Hukbala Bohatzaris, or the Tisha B'Av is special because of the intensity of what happened, or because of the fact that it set a pattern by happening twice. And then we mentioned that that's how you could explain Rebbe's position, that Rebbe says Tisha B'Av should, Rebbe always wanted Tisha B'Av to be on the 10th, and yet he apparently either wants to knock down the chumras of Tisha B'Av or forget about it if it gets canceled. We discussed how could that be consistent with the Shita, that if something's about Avelus, then in theory it could be moved around, but if something is about commemorating the day, then it has to be on the day itself. There's no significance to moving it around afterwards. Now we mentioned that this could, all these parts together could help us understand Asar B'Tavis, but Asar B'Tavis is about Tshuva by definition, because there's nothing that happened on that day that we are mourning. That's as Rav Pinkus explains in the Dikara Stora. It's only the stage in the process that's being reflected, and that stage, as we saw from the aspect of Shabbos and other possible drushes, has a special connection to Averis and Tshuva. So therefore the day itself is not about Averis, it's about a call for Tshuva, which as Rav Chaim pointed out has a space on Shabbos, and that could explain why Asar B'Tavis has its role on Shabbos. Also pointed out that, I think the Gevurah Yitzchak points this out, that could be where we see the linkage in Bedram links Asar B'Tavis and Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur also, really, you could ask why it is so pashut that we have Yom Kippur on Shabbos, because Yom Kippur, again, is also actually not a day of Avelus, but as explicit in the sources, Yom Kippur is a day of Simcha, but a day of Tshuva as well. So a day of Tshuva and Simcha can be compatible with Shabbos. It's not a serious Shabbos. And maybe the relationship, the comparison with the Shoah, that Asar B'Tavis also could, in theory, be compatible with Shabbos. It's not of a nature that makes it incompatible with Shabbos, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, which would, by its very nature, be incompatible with Shabbos. Okay, we will stop there. Have a wonderful week, and enjoy not fasting anymore.